Now, not all of us have done that. Not all of us are doing that. But there are those in the world today that are. And ultimately, there is a point in time, whether in this lifetime or another, where we finally reclaim our own authority and say, nope, I'll do it myself. Stop thinking for me. Stop telling me what I have to believe. Stop telling me how I have to live my life. I'll do it myself. And we begin to reclaim our true identity that we have given up. But yet there's yet another identity that we are here to truly gain understanding of, identity of, and to stand in the truth of. And that's our spiritual identity, not the identity of mind and ego, of the will of this world, but rather of the spiritual. And just as we had to claim our identity and say, no, no, I'll do it myself. Stop thinking for me. Stop telling me what to do. I'll do it my way. There is a point in time where we have to take that stand within ourselves spiritually in some way and begin to stand in the knowing of who we are as a spiritual being. And that is different for each of us. It's not always the same, just as it's not the same as we are growing up and claim our identity for ourselves in this lifetime. It's not the same for each of us on the spiritual journey, and yet it really is. For most of us, we have come to a place in our lives where we have reached awareness that religion, the spiritual teachings, have brought us to a certain place of awareness, of awakening, and has served us well in coming into the knowing of ourselves in many levels of the self. But ultimately, we have to take a stand. We have to take a step forward into a greater knowing of self than the world often will allow. And it truly means then that we have to stop and stand independent and say to ourselves, wait a minute, I can do this myself. I can make choices. I can make decisions. I can come awake. I can come into the knowing of who I am as spirit, just as I've come awake into the knowing of who I am in this physical form. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I know what I want to think. I know what I don't want to think. I know my habit patterns. I know how to make choices within those habit patterns towards things that serve me rather than hurt me. And I'm also beginning to do that for myself now spiritually. And ultimately, the spiritual journey is one that we do ourselves. But the thing to remember on this spiritual journey, just as in our physical journey, we need those guideposts. We need those signs along the way that are ever directing us in a way that we really want to go. That's where our physical parents, our physical teachers, the ministers, the rabbis, are all there serving us, ever pointing a direction. Now, it'd be wonderful if they all pointed in the same direction, wouldn't it? But they were all saying, that way, go that way, Jim. That's the direction to go. And we could just follow that same direction to where it is we are to go, where we want to be. But unfortunately, if you listen to your parents, if you listen to your relatives, if you listen to your teachers, if you listen to your ministers, your rabbis, the spiritual teachings of the world, they don't all point in the same direction. In your own household, one parent could say, this is good, and the other one said, no, no, that's bad. What are you talking about? That's not good. And then there's a conflict within your home, and that is created within your own consciousness. So is this good or is this bad? What do I do with this now? Mom says it's okay and Dad says it's not. The world says it's okay, but the church says it's not. My seventh grade teacher said, this is fine, and my eighth grade teacher says, no, that doesn't work. You have to do it this way. So even in the midst of our journey in life, it's for us to look and see where we stand and what direction it is we want to go, to be able to follow those signposts that lead us to where we want to be. Ultimately, though, we have to make choices. And that's the hardest part for so many people in this world, is to make choices for themselves, to make decisions, and to follow through with them, to find out what it is that is true for them, and not just follow after what is true for others. My truth may not be your truth, and your truth may not be my truth, but ultimately the one thing I do know is that every choice, every action, every decision leads to one place. Ultimately, it all leads to one point, and that is God. That is the awakening to the God within us. Everything. So if we can look at all that I've just described and shared, and realize that no matter what choice we make, no matter what signpost we follow and go towards, it's ever leading to one thing. And that is ultimately to the fulfillment of your soul's experience in this creation and its awakening into its own divine knowing of itself as soul, as a divine spark of God, and at one with God. Ultimately, everything leads to that final experience. The challenge is that some of the roadways, some of the experiences, wander on for many, many lifetimes, not just for one, before we finally reach that place that we are wanting to complete. So it's beginning to understand how to make wise decisions, how to make wise choices on this pathway, so that we can get to that final destination point as quickly as possible. One thing that I found that really assisted me a great deal was when I was a child, because my mother had been raised Jewish, and then her family converted to Christianity, and my father being Christian, I had an opportunity to experience many different forms of worship, whether going to synagogue, going to the Baptist church, the Methodist, Presbyterian, and I chose then ultimately to go to the Catholic Church as well to experience, I began to realize one thing, that even though all these religions are sharing about God, they each had a certain signpost, a certain direction that you had to go in order to get there, to get to God. And I found it very interesting one Sunday to be at the Baptist Church, and the next weekend to be at the synagogue, and the next weekend to be at the Catholic Church, and hearing all these different people sharing about how to approach God, how to get to God, what's right, what's wrong, what to do, what not to do. And sensing that everybody wants to ultimately get to this place of peace, of joy, of loving, of living in oneness with God, but they each had a different direction by which they get there. And the one thing I found in going to all these different places and listening to all these different signposts of direction was that God was always present right there in the midst of whatever was going on, whatever was being said, however the worship was taking place. Whatever the outer ritual was, God was present in that. And I became very aware of it one day when I was at a Methodist church. And they began to pray. And as they began to say this prayer, all of a sudden I was very aware of the presence of God coming awake in every single person in that church. This divine light just burst forth from their spiritual door, from the spiritual eye center. It just burst forth for a second, and then it was gone again. But in that radiant moment of God's presence coming forward amongst us all in oneness, I realized God is right here. And that all we have to do is wake up into the knowing of that. And so I didn't realize it, but during the whole service, I was just smiling, almost laughing, because I was so joyous in having witnessed this oneness, this presence come forward and demonstrate itself throughout the whole congregation. And afterwards, when we were leaving, the minister was at the door shaking everybody's hand. And as I was walking out, I didn't want to shake his hand necessarily. I was just going to walk out. And he reached over and he grabbed my shoulder and he kind of pulled me over. And he says, "Could you wait here for just a minute? I want to talk to you." And he pulled me over and I'm standing over here and I'm kind of going, "What did I do?" You know, I thought, you know, you have to stay after class, after school, if you've been bad, and do something for the teacher to make it right. And I thought, uh-oh, what have I done? And so he's greeting everybody and people are walking off. And so finally, after the people have left, he turns around and he says, Can you come back inside for a minute?" And I go, "Yeah, sure." So we go inside and he says, "I just want to know, why were you smiling the whole time that I was sharing the sermon and everything? What were you smiling about? What did I say? Did I say something that made you smile?" And I said, "No, I don't think it was anything you said." I couldn't really relate to what he was talking about for a minute. And then I realized, oh, that's right. When we first started the service, we started with this prayer, and that divine radiance came forward. And so I was still kind of innocent in my way with people and spirit. And also I just said, "Oh, well, I loved it when God came present in the beginning of the service." And he said, "What do you mean that God came present? How do you know that?" And I said, "Well, I saw it. I saw this, the presence of God, the light, come forward and radiate in everyone." And he said, "You know this? You saw this? What does it feel like? What does it look like?" And so I kept trying to share with him. And he says, "I'm so glad that you know that. I want to know that. I want to see that. How do I do that?" And I said, "I don't know. You know, I was 7 years old. I don't know." And so he and I walked out and he gave me a big hug and he said, "Thank you. You've given me something to move towards. You've given me a goal. I'm going to know God coming present in my congregation the way you did. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it." So once in a while, I would go back to that particular church, not all the time. And I was 12, 13, 14 years old. And I was in the church, and the minister was still there, and he was doing the service. And by this time, I was only going to the church, any church or synagogue, for one reason, and that was to witness the presence of God come forward at the beginning of the service. After that, I didn't really care. I didn't care what they said. I didn't care what the religious ritual was. I just wanted to be there for that. And so I witnessed it. I sat there with that. And as I was leaving, I was heading out pretty quickly. And the minister wasn't at the door yet. And I heard my name called out, and I looked back, and it was him. And he was coming down towards the door, and he says, "Don't leave." And I thought, "Oh, what?" And so I come back up to where he's at, and people leave, and he turns to me, and he gives me a big hug and starts crying. And he said, "I've wanted to talk to you for so many months now. You gave me something that I've always wanted but didn't know I wanted. And that was that I wanted to experience God, not just talk about God." He said, "When I went to seminary, I went to seminary to learn the theology, to learn the dogma, to learn what to say to people, to serve them, to assist them, to help them the best I could. Because I care about people and I want them to know love. But I realized that day when you talked to me that I didn't really know the love of God. I knew the love of man. I knew the love of service." He said, "And I have cried out, I have prayed over, I have longed for to know that which you described to me that day. And I finally have had it. And I know it's true. And I knew it was true the moment you said it because I could feel it inside of me stir. And I had to have that fulfillment. No matter what else I did in this lifetime, I had to have that fulfillment." And he said, "And I've had it. I witnessed what you said. But now I have a question for you. How can I do it every Sunday? How can I experience it every service that I do?" And I said, "Oh, I have an answer for you now. I didn't then, but I have an answer for you now." And at the time, I didn't know about meditation, but I knew about prayer. Prayer and meditation for me are one and the same, but I called it prayer at the time. And I said, "Do you pray every day?" And he says, "Of course I pray every day. I'm a minister." And I thought, well, that was a strange answer, but okay. And I said, "In your prayers, don't ask God for anything. Don't ask God to help people in the congregation. Don't ask God to do anything for you or your family. Go before God and love God. Just be in loving with God. Just be there in your prayer. And let your prayer be your demonstration of you loving God and allow God to love you." And he looked at me and he said, "Are you kidding?" He said, "I'm a minister. I have to pray for my congregation. I have to go before God and ask God to assist these people and to help them." And I said, "Unless you know God's help, unless you know God's loving, can you do that in truth? Is that what Jesus told his apostles to do?" And he looked at me and he says, okay. "You were right the first time. I'll try it. I'll see what happens." He said, "But I want your phone number." He says, "I want to call you. I want to talk to you." And so I gave him my phone number. I went off. I didn't go back there for quite a while. I didn't want more of these conversations. So finally I got a phone call. He said, "Can you come over this Saturday?" And I said, "Sure." So I go over and we sit down and he looked at me and he said, "You're right. I've been doing it wrong all along. It is about loving God, isn't it?" And he says, "I don't need to go to church service. I don't need to conduct a service in order to witness God come present. All I have to do is go inside and see where God is present inside of me. Isn't that true?" And I said, "You're asking me if that's true? You just said a statement of truth." And he says, "I know it's true. I just want you to know that I know it's true, and I want to hear that you know it's true." I said, "I couldn't have shared that with you if I didn't know it was true." And he goes, "How do you know this? How did you know this? How did you find this?" I said, "I didn't find it. It's just always been present in me for whatever reason." And so he was one of the first ones I shared a lot of this with so many years ago. And it gave me a sense of purpose and direction for myself to share with those that longed for it, to assist them on the way, to find God and to live in God's essence and God's presence. And the thing I witness here with us when we come together to meditate is in that very moment that Brian takes us to our meditation, God comes present. And today it was very interesting because as soon as Brian started to speak, I saw that same radiant divine light just burst into the room from each of us. From the very center of our soul, that divine light that is God's essence in each of us just burst forth and joined for a moment in oneness, in this radiance. And then it came back to itself to begin the process of awakening within the consciousness of the individual soul. To get to that place once again where through the individual awakening we can merge into the greater oneness fully and remain there. And I'm not going to say forevermore because there is no such thing as forevermore because it's much more than that. And so today it was very interesting because I realized that what I started doing when I was 7 years old and that minister grabbed me and said, come over here, wait just a minute. And when I was 13, 14 years old, whatever it might have been, when he called my name out and then when he called me on the phone to come over and talk, I realized that I then was being given a direction. God was pointing for me a direction which I was to be going, to be of service to people, to be doing. I didn't even realize it till just today when we were meditating. Because as we were meditating, as that divine radiance came back to each of us at the very center of our soul, and we began to meditate, I began to be aware of all these different signposts that each of us have followed. And I realized that those signposts are pointing in all kinds of directions, left and right and up and down and inward and outward, and I mean just all over the place. And yet, ultimately, we are all going in the same direction. We're all going to end up in the same location. And that is at the very center of our own soul, coming awake into the divine knowing of who we are as soul, coming filled with the light of our own soul, and living that radiance out into all that we do. That's what an initiate does. That's who an initiate is. An initiate is one who is every day stepping forward in action, letting the radiance of the divine light of God within guide the soul, enlighten the pathway before us, and to go forward and share loving, however it might be shared into the world. To be an initiate is an action that we choose to do every day. It's a choice. Just as everything is a choice. To sit down and meditate is a choice. To sit down and focus our attention on loving God is a choice. To sit down and to be vulnerable to God's loving and allow it into our beingness is a choice. To chant the sacred name of God over and over and over, to build the power of the name up inside of us, is a choice. To give up a space of time in the world and do nothing in the world and to have our attention focused fully on God and loving God is a choice. And we are making that choice. We are making that choice to put God first. We are making that choice to put our souls first before all things in the world. To wake up and know we are a child of God. To live in that divine, loving, flowing life, force that is our beingness. to merge into that, to live into that, and to fulfill it. What is fulfillment? That's for each of us to wake up into the knowing. It's not for me to describe and share what fulfillment is. It's for you to come into the knowing. And yes, we all need our teachers in life, our parents, our spiritual advisors, our teachers in the world, ever pointing the direction. Just as Brian and I are spiritual teachers in the world, ever pointing a direction. The direction that we point, though, is not outward into the world, but inward into our soul. Inward and upward to that divine seat where the soul resides within us. But ultimately, you have to do it yourself. So it does get to that place, once again, of realizing, just as you told your parents so long ago, would you leave me alone and let me do it myself? Let me make my own decisions? Let me do it myself. Ultimately, that is the spiritual journey as well. We can get all the information, we can have all the words, all the knowledge, all gathered together very neatly, understand it all within the mind structure. But unless we begin to apply it and do it ourselves, called sit down and meditate, sit down and hold our focus of loving with God, it's going to mean nothing. We're going to get nowhere. We're not going to find that fulfillment that we're longing for. And the one thing I do know is that if we will do the action, if we will apply ourselves, if we will allow ourselves just for a moment to be in loving with God, and just for a moment allow God's loving in, the rest of our existence will be transformed. It will be transformed. Once you have tasted that sweet nectar of loving, that is the pure essence of God's loving you and you loving God, there is nothing, nothing, nothing that can attract you, that can draw you out into the world again, ultimately. Now, yes, you may have a meditation and you may go inside and you may experience a movement of God's loving, and it will be the sweetest, most wonderful thing that you have ever experienced. And you will come right out of that meditation feeling fulfilled and wonderful and go back out into the world and your body goes, yeah, but I want the chocolate cake. And off you go to have the chocolate cake for the fulfillment. So the thing to do is to realize that that's okay. You have a body and you are the soul. And as you begin to wake up more and more in the truth of who you are as spirit, as divine, as soul, as a child of God, the body will come into greater alignment with that action. And up until then, you may find yourself in a little bit of a tug of war at times. The body's going, yeah, but what about? What about? Let's have this. Let's go do this. And at times, it will feel as though that has won. But ultimately it won't if you will just spend some time every day in meditation. 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, whatever it might be. If you chant the name of God and build the power up inside, even for 5 minutes, your life will be transformed if you do it 5 minutes every day. Because you're beginning to change direction. You're beginning to change your focus. You're beginning to create a space where God and you can wake up into the oneness. Meditation is an invitation asking God to come in to your life, into your consciousness, into your awareness. It's an invitation. You're inviting God in. You're creating a space where God can come and visit. God will not impose God's self upon any consciousness, any soul. But God will come in if invited. And meditation is an invitation. So every day, send out an invitation to God. 5 minutes or 5 hours, it doesn't matter. God gets the invitation. But if it takes you 5 minutes to put out the invitation and then you get up and you go and go about your day, you may not have given time for God to respond to that invitation to come in. So you might want to find yourself doing 5 minutes of invitation, chanting the name of God, and 5 minutes of allowing God to come present with that invitation and visit. Which means begin to find that action of expanding that time to allow God also God's time with you, as you have created the space for you to be with God. And I do know that if you do this action every day, just a little bit, every day, you will reap the reward of that action. It will bleed over into every other part of your life. All of a sudden, your attitude will be a little different. You will be in charge of your emotional nature more and more. You'll begin to make new choices through the mind, through the emotions, through the creative imagination, into the body, into the world. You'll begin to make new choices, and attitudes will change. Ways of being will change. Maybe your diet will change. All these things will come into alignment that serves this greater good of who you are as divine. And it begins with just a small little change of giving God some time every day. So rather than pleading with God, calling out to God, begging God, please, please take this away. Please, please fix this. Please, please bring this to me. Spend that time with God in loving. Just love God and let God's loving in and see if that doesn't bring to you all the things you've longed for and more. And the greatest gift that God can give you is for you to wake up and know that you are a child of God, that you are divine, you are soul. That's the greatest gift that anyone can be given. And the one that gives that gift to you is you, by giving yourself the time to create that for yourself. It's fun. It's really fun for me. Because as I look around, I can see the divine light in each one of you shining forth. And what's amazing is it's all the same. It's not dimmer in one place and brighter in the other. God's loving is the same throughout all of beingness. God's presence, God's essence is the same everywhere. It's not brighter, it's not dimmer. According to where it's resting in creation or beyond creation, it's all the same. The only time it becomes brighter or dimmer is by the direction we are looking. If we are looking down and out into the world, the light is dimmer because the doorway by which to see the inner light is focused away from its source. And when it is focused inward and upward towards its source, it is brighter. But in truth, when I look through the room and when I walk through the day, the light is the same no matter where I go, no matter who is in front of me, it is the same. That's what I want you to know for yourself. What's really wonderful is to keep reminding yourself that the light that you see in others is your light. It's the same here, your own soul, as it is with others. And I will give you a challenge to live with for this month as we go off on this trip. Go out into the world and love the soul that dwells within everyone that you meet. Inside, bow to them and say, I honor and I love you, O Lord that lives within. And do that with everyone, your parents, your children, your mates, your enemies, your friends, everyone equally. And see if in 30 days of doing that action, even just for 5 minutes a day, even for five people a day, at the end of 30 days, your attitude towards others is indifferent. If your attitudes towards yourself is indifferent, because I can guarantee if you bow to the Lord that dwells within others, you are bowing to the Lord that dwells within yourself. And when you bow to the Lord that dwells within, you are honoring, you are loving. To bow is to love, a demonstration of loving. So do that for the next 30 days along with your meditation. And let that be a walking meditation if you want a walking meditation. If you want a meditation that you take into the day, let that be the meditation you do. And see if that doesn't begin to transform how you see the world, how you see others, and how you see yourself. I know it will. That I do know. It will. So thank you all. And it'll be fun to come back and see. All right. Well, we'll see you in about a month. On this level. On the other levels, who knows?
And, of course, the Sunday classes will still be going on with Bill, or Tom and Laura doing a CD seminar. And, of course, remember, we're also having Wednesday nights from 7 to 9 as well with Randy doing the same thing with the tape seminar. All righty.